All right, Romans chapter 1. We began a new series last week entitled 180. 180. We asked the question last week, and that is, when has there been a time of your life of where you drastically changed your mind? Of when you drastically changed your mind. Some said salvation. Some said job situation of where they had to change their mind about employment, about job. Okay, has anybody else got anything that you changed, you had to change your mind about? Anything of where you were going in one direction, then you realized, I probably shouldn't be going that direction, and you changed your mind. I think we could all probably think of areas, though, that we come across. Last week, we began discussing the first thing is this, and that is that, whoa, Eddie, we're on lesson one. We didn't finish lesson one last week. Yep, all right. So last week, number one is Jesus is the commander of the gospel mission. Jesus is the commander of the gospel mission. Let's look at verse one. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. Letter A with that. Jesus confronted Paul. Jesus confronted Paul. Now, how could we describe the life of the apostle Paul prior to salvation? How could his life be described? He was an outlaw, okay? He was a murderer. He was a Pharisee. He described himself as a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, if there's anybody that could say, I can become a, if you can become a Christian by being a good Jew, it is me. I kept the law. Not only did I know the law, but I kept the law. Paul took his religion very seriously. He also, as a Pharisee, he believed that he was pleasing God with his works. And then letter B, we talked last week about how Jesus chose Paul. How he chose him. There were three words that I asked you to underline or circle in verse 1. The first one was the word servant. The next one was the word called. And the last one was the word separated. He called himself a servant. Now, what does that mean about servant? How is that word servant meant to be more accurately translated? Slave. The Holman actually has it translated accurately. Now, many people do not realize this, but when the translators of the King James sat down to translate, King James ruled those translators. And there were certain words that he told them not to put in the translation. And one of those was the word slave. Because this was his attitude. I'm not a slave to anyone. I am the king. So he had it, he told them, you put the word servant there, not slave. But the word servant is not accurate. Because to serve someone, you have a what? Choice. You have a choice of whether to serve someone, but to be a slave of someone, do you have a choice? No. You do not have a choice. You do what they tell you. You obey them. And if not, you suffer the consequences. So Paul was called to be a slave of Jesus Christ, which meant that Christ owned Paul and he called the shots of his life. The next one that we talked about is that he was called to be an apostle. I gave you last week the requirements to be an apostle. What are those requirements? He had to be chosen by Christ and seen the resurrected Savior. So if someone advertises on their board outside their church that they are an apostle, are they being biblically accurate? No, they're not. They are probably a false prophet. No other words to put it. They're a false, especially if they're a woman. They're a false teacher. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that all women that are teachers are false teachers. But if she's a pastor, she has absolutely no business calling herself to be a pastor because she is violating Scripture, where it says to be a pastor, to be an elder, to be a deacon, you must be the husband of one wife. Well, you can't be a woman preacher and be the husband of one wife unless you're in an Episcopalian church, then you can be that. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 said this of where Paul talked about, or how Christ told of Paul, he said that he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So why, here's the question, why was it important for Paul to state his apostleship when writing a letter to the Romans? Why was it important? What's that? So they listened to him. Somebody else said something. So they would believe him. He was affirming to them, I am an apostle. That carries some weight, doesn't it? That carries some credibility. So when he said, I am an apostle, what he is saying here is that I have some authority. So he viewed his apostleship with utmost seriousness. Of where he described himself here, that he is separated unto the gospel of God. That word separated simply means this. It means that he was set apart for the work of the gospel of God. Set apart. Separated. So here's a question that we need to look at here for a moment. Maybe write this to the margin. How serious am I regarding the things of the Lord? How serious am I in regard to the things of the Lord? Do you take your job serious? I would hope so. I would hope that you take your job serious. Do you take your marriage serious? Do you take do you take being a parent serious? Okay, I told somebody they got a new child, and I said, "Hey, I said it never stops, man. I said your life from here on out is changed. You never ever stop being a parent." You never stop being a dad. You never stop being a mother. You never stop. You are always a parent. In fact, in some ways, I am more now a parent to Bradley now that he's away from home because he asks for my advice and we talk about things more now than we did when he was at home. And he does. He listens. Okay? When he was a teenager, I know it all. Now he discovered that he doesn't know anything. Okay, see something funny. He made an A on his economics exam. Everybody else made B's and C's, and the rest of the people that were in that class are lacrosse players. Which, if you know anything about lacrosse, most lacrosse players are spoiled, rotten brats because they come from schools of privilege. And they come from families of privilege. He said, Dad, every one of them have got BMWs or sports cars. They all, you know, their school is paid for by Dad. You know, he said, so he's, He made an A on his economics exam, made an A in the class, and the rest made B's and C's. Somebody made D's. And they looked at him and said, "Hey, how'd you make an A?" He said, "Well, I did something you guys don't do." They said, "What's that?" "I took notes and I studied." Hello? You know? He said, "That's what I learned to do in high school. I learned to take notes and study." But see, God took a proud, self-reliant Paul, and he humbled him. Paul was proud of his Phariseeism. He was proud of his self-reliance. Because what did God do to Paul on that road to Damascus? Not only did he save him, but he did something else to him. What was that? He blinded him. And without your sight, you're done. Okay, you are reliant on someone else. So God took away his pride and his self-reliance and made him dependable upon him. So how serious do we take the things of the Lord? Let's go to number two. Roman numeral number two. Jesus is the center of the gospel message. Jesus is the center of the gospel message. I don't know if y'all ever heard this quote, but it's a wonderful quote. If you place Christ at the center of your life, the circumference will take care of itself. Okay, place Christ at the center. The circumference, the circle around it, will take care of itself. In other words, you place Christ the center. You place Christ as Lord, the rightful place that He desires and should be in your life. Everything else will take care of itself. So Jesus is the center of the gospel. Let's look at verses 2 through 4. Of which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Underline those two words. Our Lord. Our Lord. Okay? What do you have, the NIV? What does it say? So it doesn't have our Lord. In the NIV, it doesn't have in our Lord? It doesn't? Okay. What does it have in ESV? Okay, at the end of the verse. It's just got it in a different spot. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So it's just got it in a different spot. All right. What does the ESV say? No. Does it say Jesus Christ our Lord? It says it's at the end. Okay. All right. So it still has it. Okay. All right. Yeah, you have a King James. Yeah. Okay, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So what do we have in a summary here in these verses of verses 2 through 4? The gospel. We see the gospel in these verses. So Christ is the center of the gospel. We see in verse 2 here, we see the words that is called the Holy Scriptures. And see, the gospel is not something new that just got proclaimed in the New Testament. The gospel is also proclaimed all throughout the Old Testament in the prophecies of Jesus Christ. It's just that it culminated in the New Testament. So who is at the center of the plan of the gospel? It is simply Jesus Christ. Only Christ was qualified to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. After Jesus died for the sins of the world, God the Father declared him to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. So here is something very simple here. Does anybody know what this is in the shape of? A gear. What does the gear do? If a gear is in a machine, what does the gear do? Is the gear, it controls it. It causes it, what's that? It powers it. Yes. Okay, so here we have a gear, and we have right at the middle of it, we have Jesus is the center of it. So Jesus is the center. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you will, please. First Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, why was it important for Paul to preach Christ as the center of the gospel? Now, notice here, he says, I'm not coming to you with great words of wisdom. I'm not coming to you as a philosopher. I am just simply coming to you with the gospel message. So why was it important for the Apostle Paul to say that Christ is the center of the gospel? Very good. It proves his 180-degree turn. Because prior to salvation, who was Paul all about? What's that? Paul himself. But at his 180-degree turn, who was Paul all about? Jesus. And with Jesus being the center, he was saying, you must trust who for salvation? Not the words of man, but the words of God. His Word through His Son. So that leads to number three, Roman numeral number three. And that is that Jesus is the commissioner of the gospel's messengers. He is the commissioner. We see that He is the center. Now we see that He is the commissioner. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We often call it the Great Commission. So when, let's say, Pastor Ken is leaving on the 15th. That Sunday before he leaves, we have prayer over him and over his team, and we lay hands on him. And for that period of time that he is gone, we are commissioned. When we pray over him and send him out the doors and send him to Peru for that period of time, when we pray over him, we are commissioning him. We're commissioning him. We are sending him out. And I'm praying that there will be a day when the Lord will call young people, doesn't have to necessarily be young people, it could be old people, to go to the mission field. Okay, we got friends of ours that are in Indonesia. Used to work at Liberty Christian. Now they teach in Indonesia, and they have secret church of where they meet in a underground church. In fact, their church got raided. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook or not, but the Houghton's church got raided by the police because it's illegal to have Christianity in Indonesia. So they got raided. Luckily, they didn't go into a part where Bibles were. Okay? But they were what, in their 40s? They're in their 50s. Okay? Left to go in the mission field. But when we have a person come to us and say, Pastor, I feel the Lord is calling me to be a missionary, they raise their support, we support them here. Before they leave, we lay hands on them. We are commissioning them. We are their commissioning church. We are their sending church. Christ is our commissioner. His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation did not end His work regarding salvation. He commissions us to do His work. So what is a commission? A commission is sending people out to do the job for the commissioner. The goal of the Apostle Paul as an apostle was to bring about obedience to the faith in the people he met. Let's look at verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? What's that next word? Obedience. Obedience to the what? Faith among all nations. There was a time where the United States was number one in the world of sending out missionaries. No longer. Now, the countries that we used to send missionaries to are now sending missionaries here to reach Americans. We used to send missionaries to Guam, to the Philippines. Now the Filipinos are sending Filipinos to America to reach the American Filipino. The Russians are now sending missionaries from Russia to the United States to minister to those Russians that are living in the United States. Isn't that kind of backwards? You know what has hurt American missions? You carry it in your wallet, your pocketbook. It's green and has numbers on it. What is that called? Money. The American dream of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has ruined America. Now, I'm for it. I'm a capitalist 100%, through and through. I'm all for it, but it has in many ways ruined America and our missionary efforts. Verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to look at something else here. We have that Jesus is the center, He is the commissioner. And what is surrounding the gear? What are the parts of the gear? What? People. They're people. So when the Apostle Paul said that I am called to be an apostle, when we are called, drawn by God for salvation, does He call us to sit or does He call us to serve? He calls us to serve. He calls us to take seriousness the call of the gospel, but He also calls us to serve. So do you think that believers today are concerned about God's calling on their lives as they should be? Do we take it serious? No. Billy Graham said that he believed that 80% of the people that walked the aisle at his crusades were never truly born again. 80%. 80%. You know what a lot of people have when they have salvation, when they pray the sinner's prayer, you know what basically that turns out to be? Fire insurance. Okay? You ever heard that expression? It's fire insurance. What do I mean by that? Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, I want to pray that prayer. I want to go to heaven. Yeah, I want to pray that prayer. Then you never see him again in church. Okay, you never see him. They don't want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Their lives are anything but the life of a believer. What did they do? They prayed the prayer thinking it would keep them out of hell. But what did Christ say? Christ said that many will in that day say, Lord, Lord, we did this, we did that. Depart from me, I never knew you. You that work iniquity. So let's go to number four. So Christ is the center. He is the commissioner. And number four, he is the controller. He is the controller of the gospel's movement. Verse 8 says, For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Throughout the whole world. What did the Apostle Paul mean by the whole world? Now, obviously, the United States of America had not been established yet, so the people in the United States did not know of the Church of Rome. What did the Apostle Paul mean by that, by the whole world? What's that? All the people? Okay, let's go a little bit, let's narrow it down a little bit. What was the dominating power? The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire at this time stretched all the way from northern Africa all the way up to what we now know as Great Britain. All of Europe, parts of Asia, all the way up to Great Britain was the Roman Empire. Germany, all of that area. France was underneath the rule of the Roman Empire. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying the entire Roman Empire knows of your testimony. So here's a question. Write it to the side there, if you will, please. How is my testimony being viewed by others? We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning and a little bit more tonight in our leadership meeting. So how is your testimony being viewed by others? See, when people heard of the testimony of the Church of Rome, they knew that it was a church that stood firm in the gospel. I have written here, how is my testimony being viewed, and how is the testimony of Lighthouse Baptist Church being viewed? What is the testimony of Lighthouse Baptist Church? Are we a lighthouse? Or are we a museum? A lot of churches today are just simply museums. They have their relics. They go through the motions. There's no outreach. There's no sense of teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, living out the gospel. Wherever people went and he mentioned the testimony of the Church of Rome, everyone knew what he was talking about. So Jesus is the controller of the gospel movement, both the spread of the gospel and the effects of the gospel. Any fruit in our lives comes because of Christ working in our heart, and that is called sanctification. But Paul also realized that God works through people. Let's get down to verse 14 where Paul says this. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. See, the Greeks included everyone who adopted the Greek culture and language. The barbarians were those that did not know the Greek culture, did not know the Greek language. And Paul said that I am to reach out to all of them. So now let's look at number five. So Christ is the commissioner. He is the controller. Number five, he is the conveyor. He is the conveyor. What is hooked in machines, what is hooked to a gear to make the machine work? Okay, could be a chain, a belt. And what do we call that belt? A conveyor belt. It's a conveyor belt. It's what is hooked to other pieces of the machine to get those pieces of the machine to work. So Christ is the conveyor. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I wonder how many times we're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I wonder how many times we say, you know, I need to witness to that person, but we don't because we're ashamed. The most notable example of power in Paul's day was simply the Roman army. The Roman army used brute force to beat their soldiers into submission. They ruled by terror. They would slaughter any group of people that tried to resist them. By comparison, the gospel's power also will convict a person to the point of submission. But see, where the Roman army would enslave people, the gospel power brings deliverance and freedom, hope, and peace. So here we have, Jesus is the center. He is the commissioner. He is the controller. He is the conveyor. He uses people to do His works, and we call that the gospel works. So what can we learn from this? Every believer is part of God's program to win the lost. Every believer. See, when Christ gave what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, He didn't say think about going. He didn't say pray about going. He said to go. To go ye into all the world that is in your neighborhood. Okay, that is on the ball field coaching your little league baseball team. That is in Girl Scouts. That is in other areas of your life. I call it getting out of the Lighthouse Baptist Church box. Getting out of the box and reaching those that otherwise would not hear and embrace gospel outside of seeing your testimony. So what can we learn? Respond to God's grace. Know and share the gospel. Know and share it. We have to know and share the gospel. Father God, as we leave now and transition over to our Sunday morning worship time, we just ask and pray that You would empower us to not only embrace the gospel with a more seriousness of mind and heart and soul, but also, Father, that we would share the gospel, that our testimony would be sure, and that our testimony would be good, and that our testimony would be clear, and that our testimony would be such that when people see us and hear our name, that they will know that we are believers in the finished work of Christ, and that we are simply living out the gospel through our walk and through our talk and how we live. Dismiss us now. We pray for the upcoming service. I pray that every seat be occupied, every parking spot be filled, that Your name would be praised and honored and glorified, and that we make much of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.